In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate, well, not really celebrate, we commemorate the leave-taking of the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist. Now, St. John the Baptist has four or five, maybe six or seven different feasts during the year, but none is more important than the one that is on August 29th, because it was at this point that the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ was executed for no good reason at all. Now, we think of St. John in a lot of different ways, I think. His portrayal of the gospel is somewhat enigmatic to us. We wonder why this man who is in the wilderness like this and living off the things of the ground, living off the things that he can catch very sparsely, very frugally, actually out there preaching when no one was around, still preaching to the rocks and the stones and the trees and everything else because he was so full of the Spirit of God. We think, well, what does this really have to do with Christianity? It's sort of a strange sort of introduction, if you will. Because here he comes and the first word that he says is repent. But even according to the fathers of the church, he was crying that while even in the womb. We know when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, St. John leapt at joy for the fact that his Savior was there within his mother's womb. And we know that he was someone who was a miraculous child in that there was a childless couple, and yet the Lord blessed them and St. John was born. We know very little of his early life, much about him, what he did, how he became who he was. We actually know from the few words in the gospel more about the life of Jesus Christ in the early years than we do about St. John the Baptist. And so we have this man that's out there that's very strange to us, that doesn't seem at all attached to the common folk, if you will, that doesn't seem to be someone who can offer us anything concrete considering his own environment and where he is living and where he's coming from. So why this man? Why St. John the Baptist of all people? Well, first of all, we know that he was a prophet. We know that he was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Yet at the same time, he is a transitional figure. He is someone who transitions from the Old Testament into the New. And because of this Old Testament connection, he has many of the characteristics of the prophets of the Old Testament, at least the more severe ones that we find, like Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah. There were other prophets that were very much involved in the day-to-day runnings of the Israel people, but these three were not, and St. John certainly is not either. He is not one that has attached himself to any type of political aspirations of the people of Israel. Not at all. He's someone who stays apart from that. His only political struggles, we might say, are with Herod himself, and only because Herod had done many bad things, including marrying the wife of his brother Philip while his brother Philip was still alive. So St. John comes very stringently across to us, very stringently to the people that were there, although they followed him, they loved him, they knew that there was something about him, something that was, well, they perceived it within him, that he was indeed a prophet, that he was from God, and the people loved him, they flocked to him, and this is why Herod was afraid of him. Herod respected him, but Herod had more fear of John than he did of God. And so when the time came, when Herodias finally got tired of all of John's clamoring about their illegitimate marriage, then she finally beckons her daughter Salome to entice King Herod through nothing but pure, unadulterated lust in order to finally kill St. John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, of course, knew that he wasn't destined for a long life. He knew somehow that he was there but for a short time. In fact, when the Lord appeared, he must increase and I must decrease, he said. He knew what his role was from the very beginning. And perhaps that's why he so boldly went out and talked with people and preached to everyone with a passion that we could hardly envision today. someone who is absolutely unencumbered by anything of the world, someone who would come up to you and tell you the way that it was very directly and expected that if you did not do the things that he was telling you you should do, then you were doomed. You weren't going to make it, because he was not only the prophet but the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did the Lord choose such a man as this? Because we know that he had nothing. We know that he was completely impoverished. And yet, he is to set an example for all of us today. And that's even echoed in the gospel that we hear today. When this young man who comes and has a lot of wealth, he was a good man. He was someone, because, you know, when you're young and you're wealthy, you're really turning away from God most of the time. You're not thinking about those types of things. But this young man did. He came to the Lord. And he was concerned. He wanted to know about salvation. He wanted to know about the things that would lead him into eternal life. And so he asked the Lord, and the Lord fires back at him, well, you know the commandments. And he lists 5 or 6 of them and says, do these and you will live. And the young man says, well, I've done all of these things, even from my youth. And the Lord must have been touched by that, because he knew that this young man had indeed done all of these things. But yet, echoing the life of St. John the Baptist, the Lord says, one thing that you still lack. Go, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And with this, the young man was completely shocked. He didn't know what to do. Sometimes I wonder what we would have done in those instances. We who have so much. What if the Lord said that to us? Go, sell all that you have, and come follow me. Would we have gone away sorrowful, with the Lord looking at us and saying, you know, it's harder for this wealthy American middle class to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go in through the eye of a needle? Would he have said that to us? I wonder sometimes, because in fact he is saying that to us even now. Because though this young man had put so much store in all his riches, yet at the same time, all of us have riches too, of one type or the other, that have to be divested. We have to get rid of them, because they are the one thing that's keeping us from entering the kingdom of heaven. That's why the portrayal of John the Baptist that we have is so important, because he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he shows us that the things of the world don't mean anything. They're absolutely useless to us eventually. Because when we leave this planet, we're not going to be taking anything with us, are we? Nothing at all. And so the Lord is saying, okay, make use of the things that I have given you. Make use of the gifts of God, the talents that you have, the things that you have acquired, even if you're being charitable to your fellow man. That's all well and good. But don't let these final things get in the way of your following me, because that would be absolutely a tragedy. You still must live as if none of it matters. You still must live as if nothing is important but our Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing is as important but our Lord Jesus Christ. This is John's message to us. He is saying, divest yourself, strip everything away, because you're here but for a short time. You're here but to learn how to love God. That's the most important thing that you can do. And I'm showing you how to do it. That's what John is saying to us. I'm showing you that you don't need all this food. You don't need all this drink, all these accoutrements, all these things that we think somehow are the measure of one's life. They aren't. It's inside. It's that answer that you give to the Lord when he says, go and sell all that you have and come follow me. That is the answer to life itself. That is what we have to do. Absolutely. And particularly now in the situation that we find ourselves, we should be looking inwardly more often. We should be trying to understand what it is that's keeping us from God. What is it? Is there some sort of self-satisfaction with us? Is there a reflection not on the things of God, but on the things that we think we're lucky that we have right now that are getting us through this craziness that's going on? None of that's true. None of it. If anything, we should be looking more towards God at this moment. We should be understanding that he's calling us to a deeper life with him, That's why he's allowing these things to happen to us right now. Because we simply get so caught up in the things that this rich young man got caught up in. Whereas John the Baptist is saying, no, don't get caught up in it. Use this time, the small time that St. John himself had on this earth. Use this time in order to draw nearer to God, because that's what he's wanting us to do. There's no clearer message in any of this that we're going through now than that. Self-reflection, an inward lookingness to ascertain where we are in our spiritual lives, to try and understand what the Lord is telling us, what he's trying to preach to us, that there is one thing needful, and he is that one thing, and all other things will be given unto us, but they won't be given unto us if we don't search after that one thing needful first. This is a very special feast in the life of the church, one of the three additional strict fast days during the year that we honor because of St. John, because of his sacrifice that he made, because he was completely innocent in the things that he did. The only thing he was guilty of was telling the absolute truth about the situation that he found himself in that time. And we must also be very honest with ourselves and tell the truth about the situation we find ourselves in this time and decide whether or not we are measuring up to the sacrifice that St. John made. This is why he's so important to us. This is why we call him the holy, glorious prophet, forerunner, and Baptist John. Because he not only was able to proclaim even to the rocks themselves the coming of Christ, but he was able to baptize the Lord himself. He was able to touch his sacred body, to do these initial things that smoothed the way for the Lord to walk in, as if a king comes into the room and we throw down a red carpet. That was St. John doing that, throwing down the red carpet for the Lord. And in this case, that red was very apropos because it was his blood himself that he gave up for the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to do the same thing. And it's not something frightening. It's not something horrible. It's not something scary or apocalyptic or something like this. It's with joy that we anticipate these things, with joy that we take up our cross, with joy that we greet the Lord also, even today as we will in the Holy Eucharist. So my dear brothers and sisters, remember these things. Remember what St. John was calling us to do. Because as he said, repent, the Lord himself, when he first appeared on the scene in his ministry, the first thing he said also was repent. John the Baptist was selected because that was the perfect type of the things that our Lord Jesus Christ was going to proclaim. And we must embrace it fully and wholly and maintain it for all the days of our life so that we too can enter into his glorious kingdom. Amen.